As a young man, before I got married, even before I met Sally, I got involved in hospital work, got a job at a hospital, and then got included in a paramedic program. There weren't paramedics in the province at the time, and so it was a pilot project, and I was training with doctors and in ORs and intensive cares. And as a Christian raised in a nice church, a wonderful church, my parents, who are both pastors, have an amazing grasp of the Word, moved in the gifts of the Spirit. But it was my first time to walk into things that horrified me. As a paramedic, I would walk in and see mangled bodies, a child that had been horribly abused, the cries, the smells, the things. There's many things I've never even told another person because of the pain, the grossness, the ferocity. If you don't believe in the devil, go be a first responder, firefighter, paramedic, police officer, and you will see that there's a devil. And it's not just the dark side of your psyche. But when I was there, I think there was this wake-up call in me. And trained in the Word, my parents had taught me the Word. I had seen Holy Spirit and how He could move through an individual person. But now I saw horrific things, brutal things, horrible things. And I began to struggle with how to handle it, how to deal with it. And literally, I had to work out, how can I put it, a training program for myself. Because I knew enough Word to know that I was getting burnt out. I was getting literally hard-hearted in my first year of working with this stuff, because you would see stuff every day. And then when I wasn't in the field doing calls, we were a part of the crash cart team in the hospital, so I went to the 99s, the heart attacks. Anytime a patient walked in, they would walk into one of our recovery rooms where you'd be, you know, I'd be there with the team as well. And I don't think I knew enough to figure out what to do. I just knew that something was wrong with me. And it was like the insulation was being ripped off my heart. And when you look at wires, the only way I can explain it is that there's wires on the stage, but if you touch a wire to another wire, if they're covered with that rubber insulation, they don't connect. But if you take a knife and strip the insulation off the wire and you've got that bare wire, now you're going to have a power flow. And the only way I could understand this was that my heart began to be stripped of, and I began to feel for others. I began to see the incredible need. And I knew that we were called to deal with it, but I didn't know how. And as I began to dive into the Word of God as never before, I found that every human being is wired to succeed. Every human being, every neuron, every pathway, everything about your brain, everything about your heart, your spirit, soul, and body has been designed to succeed in life, to succeed in relationships, to have joy, to have peace, to walk in love, to treat people well. Everybody is wired that way, but most were programmed for unbelief, heartache, hurt, sickness, disease. And because that was their programming growing up, that this is as good as it gets. That's life, you know. That you couldn't see things get better. And so as a young man, I went on this just complete change of my life that I still adhere to today. And that is that every morning, before I'd go to work, I would get up and I would find all the anointed teachers of God's Word that I could. And I would listen to them one whole message every morning before I'd go to work. And I was dating Sally right in there, and Pastor Dan, who's a pastor here today, he was dating Rita. Him and I had a house together, and we had set up this porch to be our learning area. And that's where we would go in the morning, or he would go when it was his turn. If I saw him in there, I'd leave him alone. But something changed inside of me. I began to do what I want to talk about today. I began to recognize that my tongue has life or death. That doesn't just mean that I'm teasing a killer to kill me, or you know, that is just the thing, it's not the content only, but that it has some kind of a power. That if God spoke the worlds into existence and Jesus spoke his power, they didn't snap their fingers, they didn't wave their arms, they spoke. And the words that they spoke actually caused all three worlds to obey them. I noticed that most people's words didn't mean squat. Most people could say something, it wouldn't mean a thing. But then I began to watch the way people talked. And I found that people who would just continually talk something would usually see that. One of the things we had, we'd always be working in emergency as well, where people would walk in, and you know, if we would know by name three or four people because they were so psychosomatic that they would come in for everything. They'd come in, and you'd hear some, yeah, you know, I just know that I'm really sick, and I'm having this symptom, my eyes twitching, and I know that it's a disease. I want you to examine me. I'm pretty sure it's brain cancer. In fact, I know it's brain cancer, and I want to have an MRI. I want to have this. And they would just have, and this is the way they talked all the time, just sickness, disease. And pretty much whatever they were talking is where they were going, was what they were getting. And so I began as a young man to recognize that I too have been wired and created for success. All three parts of me, body, soul, and spirit, and the heart, which is a mix of the spirit and the soul, has been created, wired for me to succeed, but that this planet has got me thinking wrong ways. It's got me believing wrong things, and that I needed to reprogram myself. When Sal and I got married, we had this conversation because we just kind of woke up to the fact that we didn't have to put up with whatever life gave us, but that we could create our lives. That Holy Spirit was our helper, which meant that we had to have the initiative to determine the direction, and then if it was a godly direction, Holy Spirit would help us. If it was an ungodly direction, the evil spirit would help you. You still there? Christian or not? If you're a Christian and you choose to believe wrong things, hateful things, the evil spirit, the enemy, they'll help you. And so we recognize how powerful it was for us to make decisions and to make sure that this being that I am would be like Jesus. For the thousands of years that have been in, come and gone, there are only 33 years that we have an accurate look at what a human being should be like. And that is the life of Jesus Christ. For those 33 years, God, you know, God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus took on a body, gave up any of the power associated with him being a part of the Trinity, and he became a man. And the Bible does not call him very often in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus didn't call himself the Son of God. He called himself the Son of Man. So why? Because he was showing the human race this is the way a human being can function. He came with not only wired for success, Jesus as a young man was in the scriptures to such a degree that at 12 he was stunning the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the people of the law. They said, whoa, listen to this kid. He recognized that he was created to live a certain way, but he also had to be programmed, or he had to meditate. In the word, Sal and I, you know, I remember when we got married, we knew that our mouth was one of the most powerful ways to renew our mind and establish heart beliefs. And so we said, well, when one person starts to speak doubt and unbelief or words that are useless or words that could hurt us, let's just make sure we remind each other. You know, Leon, you just said this, this, and I'll, okay, Sally, you said this, this. Well, we found that led to a lot of fighting. And so we thought, what are we going to do? So instead, we developed this little system that if, you know, if we're going to help each other get our tongues in line, and I don't mean to such an extreme that you're weird, but we would just say, if I was, oh, I'm so sick and tired of this, and she'd go, I agree with that in Jesus' name. And then I go, okay, no, 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 no. And you learn real quick when someone says to you all the time, I agree with that in Jesus' name. And you just said something you don't want in your life. It really kind of, and so we began. We would take the scriptures and we would speak them onto cassette players back then. And then we had this cassette player that would go, and it would just keep looping and keep playing all night. And we would listen to ourselves confess God's word all night. We were determined to change our programming. We were determined to change our thinking, to change the natural bent that gets into you from this world, and we wanted to renew our mind. And today I want to really encourage you that if you are going to just come here and give your life to Jesus and you get a little bit of psychological relief, I'm happy for you. But if you want to walk in the power of God and you want a life that is so filled with the miraculous and the blessing and the favor of God, then you are going to have to do the work of changing the way the world has programmed you. School, news, parents, uncles, aunts, traumas, etc. So meditative prayer is something that is crucial. And this is where you speak God's word, and its purpose isn't a magical hex. Its purpose is to disrupt wrong programming and get God's programming on the inside of you. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Let's read this as you look at the screen. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. From what? Your mouth. Doesn't say from your Bible, from your house, doesn't say from your church, your pastor. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. From what? Your mouth. Now think about this for a minute, because we skip right by certain points. You are to be continually declaring your beliefs. And if you do not, you will find that the stuff of this world, the programming, the thinking, the culture, the negativity, the oh, woe is me, it'll just start seeping into you like this marinade. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do to according to what all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. See, everybody's praying for success. Everybody's praying for prosperity in relationships and businesses. And God's already done that for you. It's all in His Word. Now in the New Covenant, it's actually been finished at the cross. And so it's saying here, if you will not let the Word of God depart out of your mouth, you will make your way. And so what kind of a year are you going to have? I don't know. What are you going to make? By default, you're going to just drift back into worldly thinking. And so we've got to begin to speak the Word of God. If this Word can't depart from your mouth, now I don't mean that you speak God's Word like a hex. You know, a lot of the occult, they'll tell you all these crazy books you read that, you know, these are the words that you would speak over the spirit, and that this is the right incantation, and if you get the right incantation, then you will release this evil spirit, or whatever they're teaching. It's all just bunk. So the Word of God for Christians isn't that you get all the wording right. It's that this meditative prayer begins to drop down, and you begin to understand and know things at such a level that it changes the way you look at life. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. They that love it. I know people who love being negative. You ever met one? Love gossiping, love finding everything wrong with everybody around them, love telling everybody else the newest junk. And the Bible says a gossip separates chief friends. One guy said to me, I said, you know, I don't want to hear that. That's gossip. No, it's true. I said, the Bible doesn't say that gossip is not true. The Bible says you shouldn't be repeating it. None of your business. And so what are when it's people, there are some people who love just to speak junk, bunk. They feel like they raise themselves up when they put everybody else down. And if you love that kind of talk, it says that you're going to eat that kind of fruit yourself. But if you love to speak the word of God that lifts and here's what God's word says and et cetera, then you're going to eat the fruit of that. In other words, the words that you speak plant seeds in your heart, and the fruit of those seeds are going to come into your life. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I firmly believe that in those young years of my life, that I begin to recognize that this meditative prayer, and it began to unlock things inside of me. And I would go and pray for the sick and see miracles. There would be attempts on my life, and I would just watch with my eyes things go wrong, and things at times when I was protected so uniquely and miraculously, and it wasn't because I was special to God above another. It was simply that I began in my teen years to reprogram myself. I'm wired, you are built to succeed, for protection, for long life, for joy, but you've been programmed. A good friend of mine, Jim Richards, wrote a book called Wired for Success, Programmed for Failure. And many people program for failure, well, this is me. Oh, the negative, whiny, that's you. No, that's not you. That's just your wrong programming. And if you'd actually do the work of taking God's word and beginning to speak it. And now, meditative prayer is not just saying it. The Bible says to meditate is to speak, mutter, ponder, and imagine. So when you take the promise, for exactly, that says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," to just take that verse and just speak it at the air, doesn't mean much. But when I'm in a situation where I have to walk through something as an individual or you, and you know, pick a topic, you want to public speak it and teach Sunday school, you have to take a company to a new level, you have to see this take place in your life, and there's going to be a lot of pressure, a lot of stress on you, and you're saying, "Oh God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." The words that you speak are anointed, and they should cause new dreams and visions to rise in your life. They should cause you to see things differently. When you speak the word of God and you ponder on it and you meditate on it, it'll cause you to see you differently. It'll cause you to see your life differently. Instead of you being this person that's down and depressed and freaking out, you'll see as Holy Spirit begins to take the words that are alive and He begins to teach them. And when He teaches them to you, you see, the language of your mind is logic, knowledge, but the language of your heart is pictures, it's dreams and visions. And when you begin to do the work of meditate, I'll give you an example. As a young man, before I got married, I began to speak the word. And because I was walking around dead and dying people and heart attacks and people cut up and bleeding out in front of me and busted broken bones and all the things, I begin to declare things like, "When I lay my hands upon the sick, they shall recover." I begin to declare that no evil thing shall ever hurt me. If I eat or drink any deadly thing, it's not going to touch me. I thank you, 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, and it will not touch me. And I would take these promises, and as I would speak them, I would get so involved in them, just laying in the porch of that house and listening to the word and then speaking the word, that situations in my own mind, I could just see myself protected. I'd see myself touching people and the power of God. I would see myself with God's favor on my life. Now, it was coming because I was doing meditative prayer. What is that? It's praying the word. And then it's not just speaking the word, but it's pondering and meditating on it until I see the results of that promise in my life. Now, I don't know what that looks like to you, but as I begin to do this, it changed me, radically changed me. As a young man, I found Psalms 119, verses 97, 98, and 99. It's prophetic of Jesus. But it says there that if you love God's word, now God's word is called, you know, lots of different words for the word of God. It could be called law. It could be called all sorts. So it says, if you will meditate in God's word and love his word, you'll be wiser than your teachers, wiser than people older than you, and wiser than your very enemies. Well, we know that when you have an enemy, if you are wiser, you will win. It is better to be wiser than to be meaner. It's better to be wiser than to be more rabid. It's better to be wiser because wisdom wins. And as I saw this, I began to speak that. And from the age of being 19 years old till today, one of the things I declare over my life, and back then I would do it daily, just bang. Now maybe once a week, and because each day I'm speaking different, but I'm doing this every day, different verses, but I just know hundreds of them now. I would just declare, because I love God's word, I'm wiser than my teachers. I thank you, I'm wiser than the people even older than me, and I thank you right now. Any enemy I get, that I'm wiser than that enemy in the name of Jesus. I would speak that each day. And this confidence that don't worry about people yakking, talking, attacking, because God is going to keep you. Why? Because I'm special? No. Because I just prayed? No. But because life and death are in the power of the tongue, I begin to speak these promises daily. And not just in kind of a quick way, but in a meditative way, that my mind was involved, my heart was involved, and I began to change the very thinking in my heart. I found that when I studied the word, that Jesus compares himself to bread. And when you go into the Old Testament, many of the stories of the Old Testament teach you concepts that would be in the New Testament. For example, when God gave the children of Israel manna, in the wilderness, there was no food. How do you feed 2 million people walking through the desert when all there is a few lizards and snakes? It's not going to go very far. So God rained down manna, heavenly bread. But if you tried to gather more than one day's worth, it would rot. Meaning you had to gather manna every day. You know what it was trying to show us through this type and shadow? That when Jesus, who is the bread of life, comes, that what you did yesterday is not going to do today. You will need to stay in the Word in a meditative prayer way every day of your life. So, Leon, that sounds like work. Well, don't do it and see what happens. Go ahead and just keep this life, this body, this mind, this brain that you've been given, which is wired to succeed. Just feel the frustration of never getting it to. It's just irritating. It's just, it's awful. It's horrible. As people will often talk to me and, you know, how come I can't get this to happen? You know, why didn't God do this? Why didn't God? And it's kind of shocking for you. I mean, you still don't get that it's already a done deal, that it's been given to you, and that every miracle you'll ever need, every promise you'll ever need has already been given to you. You've been qualified for it, made righteous for it. It's been deposited in your spirit. It's the presence of God. And it's just you getting your mind renewed, your heart established in grace, and it just starts flowing. And so we need to do the work. And when I say work, I don't mean it's just awful, it's horrible. The Bible's interesting. Like in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, it says, your words came to me, and I listened carefully. I ate them. Your words made me very happy and were the delight of my heart. Because I am called by your name, Lord God, all-powerful, almighty of heaven's army of hosts. As you begin to take his word and just begin to speak it, just begin to, in your car, wherever you are, begin to just declare it over your life. Declare this is who you are. Declare this is who my God is. You begin to enjoy this so much. Now in my life, when I go through periods of where I'm a little bit too busy and I haven't spent time in this meditative, prophetic, declarative prayer, whatever word you want to use, which is just speaking, but I'm speaking it to declare what my life's going to be like. I'm speaking it to get it into my heart and make sure that I'm getting out wrong programming and wrong things that might have seeped in there, that daily I've got to have a renewed mind, that daily I need to, Ephesians 5 says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Liam, that sounds like work. What's with you? You can have supernatural ability on this natural planet, or you can just stay with your natural ability. How many hours of TV or social media are you looking at? The average is, I think, way past 5 hours. You can't just grab another hour out of that and just begin to speak His word, declare His word, meditate on His word, and watch what it does to your mind. Watch what it does to your heart. And then things begin to change. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 6, verses 31 to 36, He says, and when you eat of me, you will never hunger again. You will never thirst again. Just a minute. So when you begin to speak the Word of God, to meditate in His Word, to see things ahead of time differently, it says that you'll not hunger. Hunger for what? How many wrong things do we hunger for that get us off track? How many times do we get thirsty, or we just have desires and we start feeling lonely, we start feeling out of sorts, and then we begin to be tempted off? My time has passed, but I want to encourage you that when you go into the Word, that it is the Word of God that makes the difference. In Psalms 119:11, it says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. When the enemy tries to tempt you into sin, listen to me close, he is trying to tempt you off of the path God's prepared for you ahead of time. He's trying to tempt you off. He's trying to get you into something that he can beat you up with so that you lose faith and etc. And so when you begin to hide God's word, and that word hide means the secret place of your heart, when you daily begin to speak his word, when you meditate, ponder, when you imagine. Say, well, Leon, that imagination is new age. No, the word meditation as a synonym in the center column of your Bible will say imagination. He gave you an imagination, and this imagination is the ability to peer into the future. Now, people who are dealing with fear, people who deal with anxiety, people who deal with a lot of those negative emotions have very acutely developed negative imaginations. They can see themselves being rejected every time they walk into a new group of people. They can see and sense themselves not being good enough. And so the Word of God has to impact your mind to such a degree that even when you look at a situation, you begin to see different results in the future. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. The direction of your life, the direction of how you handle a specific child, the direction of how to take your marriage to a new place right now. You can read a book for some principles, but every person is so unique with their own hurts, with their own situations, but Holy Spirit will lead you individually in every job area, relationship area, marriage, raising kids. His word will rise up within you and guide how you handle things. And when you take a look at God's word, you'll understand that even the angels of God obey the spoken word of God. It says in Psalms 103 verse 20, Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength. It says, who hearken to the voice of His word. It does not say who hearken to the voice of God. Oh, of course they do. But did you know that when you speak the word of God as a born-again, faith-filled believer, and those words are filled with faith, that angels obey the spoken word of God? And in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, it says there that angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, the angels are there. And my challenge to you is you can go ahead and just try to be a nominal Christian, or you can begin each day to speak His word, to begin to declare that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich in my life and He addeth no sorrow to it. I want to thank you, Father, that I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, in all the business things that I'm involved in. I want to thank you right now that you've commanded upon me your blessing, and that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and He addeth no sorrow to it. I want to thank you right now that my children will be like olive trees planted around our table, that because we are planted in the house of the Lord, I'm going to live old and long and bear fruit rooted every year of my life. I want to thank you right now that the peace of God is upon me because the Spirit of God is mine. I want to thank you right now, Father, that the joy of the Lord is not going to be one fine day. It is my strength. And as you begin to speak the word, you are going to find that it's what it does to you. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, and that be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How do you know that what you're speaking is working? How do you know if you're spending enough time in this meditative prayer of declaring God's word? Because according to Ephesians 6, verse 10 and on, the promises of God become like armor. The armor of the word, like the breastplate of righteousness, is an understanding of righteousness. A helmet of salvation is an understanding of what salvation includes. When the sword of the Spirit is an understanding that the spoken word, is the sword of the Spirit is the word praying. As you pray the word, speak the word, the sword of the Spirit will take out the things that are... And if not, the Bible says that the wiles of the devil... That there'll be an evil day where you won't know what to do. And people think that it's just bad, but often it's just him getting you to think a certain way. Walking you right out of church, walking you out of an important relationship, as the enemy who begins to attack with flaming arrows how you think, how you believe, what you should do. And he will mess with you. But if you have spent, you don't need to have a whole lesson on demons, just take God's word. Because as the armor, the breastplate of righteousness, and all of this going on, all of a sudden, you will find that as you walk, things become so much easier. It's the very armor that Jesus wore. My challenge to you, start today. Begin to take promises in God's word and speak them, declare them, ponder on them, and then you will change your life. Father, I pray right now that you'd touch every one of us. That, Father, we would go back to the powerful basics of your word. That if we do not speak life, that death on this planet will just start to push at us. That we must declare our destinations. We must declare the promises because even the angelic forces are listening for the spoken word. Father, I pray right now, stir each person up. And Father, I declare that they would begin to speak it, to declare it. And I pray that this is going to be the greatest year of being led by the Spirit, blessed by the Spirit, and walking in the freedom of God they have ever had. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody in agreement said, amen. Amen and amen.